programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show from WRCO, WRCE, we're talking about the National Night Out, which is going to be coming up in the city, and that'll be up on Tuesday night, August 6th of next week, getting underway at 5:30. And in the studio today, representatives of Partners for Prevention, Joanne Krulatz is here, Betsy Raisler as well, and we also have Richland County Sheriff Clay Porter and Richland Center Police Chief Billy Jones talking about the upcoming event, which is a really extremely fun event. We've had a chance to be a part of it the last few years. Joanne Krulatz, it's back again. Looks like bigger and better than ever, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yep. We've had to do some changing around, but National Night Out, it's fun to be a part of it because it's an annual event, and the purpose is for communities, law enforcement, ambulance, fire to all come together and celebrate. You know, and it's nice for the kids to be able to see law enforcement and first responders and everything when it's not an emergency, and they can build that camaraderie. And that's what National Night Out is all about.
How many years have you been involved with this?
This will be the fourth.
Fourth whenever. And there are changes in the community, so maybe you could go
over
those.
There's some big changes. With everything happening with the campus, we had to find a new location. So we are going to be down at Crosscut Park where Rotary Lights is in the wintertime. So it should turn out nice. We'll have the gazebo for music and we'll have plenty of parking. And the other thing is, because there's no kitchen facility, we won't be giving, it won't be free food, but we did invite food trucks. So we'll have TKO, Yovita, and then Carter's Catering Walk with Grace team is going to have a fundraiser booth there for their Grace team. And that's what we have so far.
But plenty of area back there, as I envision where it's going to be. I think it's going to work out well for you, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. You know, pray we don't get much more rain because it does get a little wet back in there. But, you know, we've got the shelters where people can sit and enjoy the music and have dinner and... So it'll be good.
Lots of things and fun and games for the kids as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Sheriff Porter reserved some thunder showers, bounce houses, and dunk tank. You know, the dunk tank is always popular. You know,
some of the stars of the dunk tank might even be in the studio with us.
I believe so, but not me.
Chief Jones, I think you were a hit last year, weren't you?
Well, for some reason, everybody likes to dunk the chief. but we also have the sheriff in it again this year. So come on out and help dunk the sheriff. There will be a little fee again to get some balls and throw them as hard as you can. And we'll hopefully entertain the crowd as much as we can with as big a splashes as we can make.
They don't just throw them at you though. You got to throw it at the target.
You got to throw it at the target. Yeah. Please try to keep them over there. But you know, if we have to dodge a few, maybe we will.
Yeah. It'll be worth it. Take one for the team, right?
Absolutely.
Well, yep. Sheriff Porter, certainly this is a really important night for the community. Why do you feel it's important for the Richland County Sheriff's Department?
I think, you know, as was said earlier, it's just kind of building those partnerships. So not only are we interacting with the community in a positive, low-stress event, right? But we're also interacting with our fellow first responders. So it's a good opportunity for us to get out, meet the public. I have a very young department now, and it's important for them to get out and kind of get that face-to-face time with you know, the community. But it's also, at the same time, it's great for us to get, you know, away from an emergency scene and interact with our fellow first responders, because we are all a big team. We all have to work together. And I think this is a good opportunity for that, to have that kind of bonding.
You bring up an interesting point, Clay, because I used to know all of the deputies and, you know, kind of on a first name basis, not because I was in trouble, but you just kind of knew them, you know? And I think now you've got some new faces. It's important to kind of put the name behind the face.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. It's like I said, it's our department's been changing over the last few years. Billy's is as well. And it's a good opportunity to get that time where it's not an emergency and maybe we're not necessarily needed, but we're there and we can interact. And it's just yeah, a great way to build those relationships.
Do you echo that, Billy?
Absolutely. You know, and just like Clay said, it's great for us to interact with the public, but it's also great for the public to interact with us. The new officers and deputies, EMS has even had some changes recently, you know, and the fire department is growing, you know, which is awesome. I think Chief Gald will be here in a little while, so he can speak on that. But we're all changing. We're all growing. Our community is growing. There's more younger people getting involved in a lot of things, and that's what we're out here to do, is just to get involved with the community, show the community that we're real people too. We like to enjoy a good time, and we just encourage everybody to come out, say hi, get to know your first responders, because it helps us, you know, later on down the road as well, to get to know you on a personal level as well.
How much do your departments work together between the city and the county?
A lot.
Do you?
Yeah. A lot. Yep. The county assists us a lot. We assist the county as much as we can. Our department is obviously a little smaller than the county department is. But especially, and the day shift crew, they work well together. But the night shift crew really seems to have a very, very good working relationship together. They're always assisting each other on calls or complaints or just, hey, we don't have enough staffing maybe right now in the city. The sheriff's department comes in and helps us out on answering some calls in town. Same thing if the sheriff's department needs something out in the county and they may have an emergency on one side of the county, the police department will run out to Boaz to help out with something or wherever it might be.
Yeah, I wondered about that. You're not just confined to the city, nope. Then, are you?
Nope. All of our officers, I think, now are also deputized within the county as well. So we're working on that. We kind of got away from it a little bit, but we're getting all back together. And with our new officers, they've got to be trained in some other things and to get to know the county as a whole, because it's a big area. And once that all kind of comes around and we get everything together, then we help out where we need to help out. And that's what it's about.
Yep. Do you have enough help? I mean, if you had your choice, could you use some more deputies, Clay?
Oh, yeah. We're in a good position staffing-wise, but we're still down one from like 2010 that I've been working on trying to get back for a few years. But yeah, things are good, and we're, with the exception of the jail, we're fully staffed, and we're soon to be full staffed in the jail. So things have been looking up in that sense.
Could you mention some of the deputies?
One thing I should mention is the canines. So one of our newest canine handlers, we're going to do another dog selection in September. So Sergeant Isaac Gerber will be getting the next canine. He's leaving. We're going in September. It's actually Fair Week to do dog selection. I'm not going to be able to sneak out on Fair Week, but others will. As we know, Canine Rambo, Lieutenant Sizz, had retired Canine Rambo, and so we're looking to replace Canine Rambo, so we're going to try to maintain two canines from here on out. We have Canine Aaron, who is with Sergeant Chris Shulgin, and then we have a canine yet to be named that we'll be getting in September with Sergeant Isaac Gerber. Okay. So... And I guess, you know, as far as that is, we have the Canine 5K, which is an event for National Night Out. And Billy can talk to this too, but the canine program's almost completely funded by donations. And so events like the Canine 5K really help us, because it's not just getting the dog, right? There's all this ongoing maintenance that goes with keeping the dogs. Sometimes the dogs have medical issues just like we do. And so, you know, all this stuff helps us maintain the program. So events like the Canine 5K, huge for us. Great donation builder for us. So that'll be going on 5:30 on Tuesday during the National Night Out. And registration is online for it. You can go to the Partners for Prevention Facebook page to register. Website, the Partners for Prevention website. I Google searched it yesterday, National Night Out, Canine 5K. It was like one of the first things that showed up. So we're just encouraging people to get out, sign up for it. You don't have to run. You could walk it if you wanted. But yeah, we're just encouraging enrollment for things like that. And yeah.
So the money raised from the race walk will be going toward
it? Yep, it's split between our two canine funds, so the police department's canine fund and my canine fund. So the profits are split, and it helps us maintain those programs.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you have a canine program to support as well,
Bill. Absolutely. Teddy and Lucy, we have the police department itself has one canine unit. Teddy is and a lot of people know Teddy. Teddy will be at the National Night Out event as well. We're hoping to have a demo there. Officer Deneen and Teddy will actually be on duty that night, so they might have to come and go. But hopefully we can keep him there long enough to show him off a little bit. But then we also utilize Lucy. Lucy is a bloodhound that is actually owned by Officer Shaylin Isaacson. So Lucy is not owned by the police department, but we subcontract her quite a bit. And Lucy is a search and rescue a dog. She has an amazing sense of smell, just amazing. It's just so cool to see her work and do her thing. And Shaylin has put in a ton of work off the clock. So she does this, a lot of the stuff. She gets paid for some of it, but she puts in a ton of hours just on her own, building Lucy's skills and working with Lucy's skills and maintaining Lucy's skills. And she works with other search and rescue dogs throughout the state of Wisconsin. And she's been just a huge asset for us so far.
Does each dog have its own strength then?
Absolutely. Teddy is a multi-personal purpose dog, so he's trained to detect narcotics and drugs, to find drugs. He's also a protection apprehension dog, so he will bite if he's told. And then he also does article searches as well. So if we're investigating a burglary and somebody leaves a house or residence, he can track that person. He can sniff the footsteps and take us right to that person. So he's a little bit more rounded, where Lucy is just kind of specific to search and rescue. If we've used Lucy in multiple where maybe an Alzheimer's patient has walked away from a home, or a group home person has walked away from a group home. We've used her to kind of follow a scent. We find a piece of clothing or a shoe that belongs to that person. Again, Lucy takes a big sniff of it, and then she takes off and goes and finds that person. So it can be 24 hours old, and she can still pick up that scent.
Isn't it amazing?
It's just amazing. Yeah, just crazy amazing. Yep.
You guys would have fun playing hide and seek with that dog, I'm guessing.
Yes. Right? Yep. And actually, we have done that.
Have you?
Yep. At certain training situations, we try to get really sweaty. You get worked up a little bit to get the person, and then you walk them out through a field, and they go left and right and do a bunch of zigzags and up over hills and down into the woods, and then we let it sit for 20-25 minutes, and then we take the dogs out and we get found. Yep. We get, and we hope the handler holds on to their leash really, really tight, because sometimes they like to bite at the end of that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yes.
Yep. But it's always a good time. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time, and it's an amazing tool to have in our toolbox.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yep. So it's a fundraiser for the new dog. How do you come up with a name, Clay, for the dog? Or is that kind of given to the dog when you go get the dog?
So it depends. A lot of times handlers pick their own name, but also so we use Von Lick Kennels in Indiana. That's where Rambo came from, that's where Aaron came from, and that's where we're going for our next selection. A lot of times they have a kennel name already. Okay. When you pick them up, so you can stick with the kennel name or you can give them your own name. So yeah, that's kind of, I think a lot of times most handlers pick a name, but sometimes you just stick with the kennel name because it's something they're already familiar with.
And yeah. This dog, will there be a specific trait of this dog you're looking for?
So this will also be a dual-purpose or a multi-purpose canine. Narcotics detection, apprehension and protection. I also do like the article searching or could be used for searching for people as well. But yeah, narcotics and apprehension and protection are kind of what we're going for with that as well.
If you have more than one dog, then it's like whose shift is on, they take the dog, or is there ever an outing where you use both dogs?
So we try to spread them out on the schedule as much as we can. So that way, you know, between our canines and the city canines, you know, we try and spread them out so that there's a canine in the county as often as possible. But yeah, they train together, seldom work together, but not sometimes they work together. But if we were to have like a specific deployment, or if we were doing an interdiction on the highway, we may just have them all work on the same day. Yeah.
Interesting stuff then. So then you get a chance to see a little bit of a demonstration then, perhaps, Billy?
Yes, so we're hoping to have a canine demonstration at 6:15 that evening. I believe it's Teddy right now will be there, unless calls happen. And we might even, if we anticipate something happening, we may jumble the schedule and move things up. But we'll have a loudspeaker and everything on the ground. So if we have to change the schedule up, we'll definitely let everybody know. But we'll have a bite demonstration. I'm not sure if we're going to do a narcotics find demonstration this go around. And again, it depends on the heat and things like that, because the dogs get pretty worked up pretty fast, they need to be cooled down as quick as possible too. But we'll definitely get them out and hopefully be able to put on a little demo that everybody can see and watch.
You get out to schools from time to time, don't you, Clay?
Yeah. That's kind of one of the, I guess one of the fun things that the canine handlers get to do is get out to the schools and do canine demonstrations, schools, 4-H groups. We recently had a demo with one of the church groups, kind of builds that awareness of the program and kind of draws attention to the need and the fact that it is funded through public donations. It's a kind of a fun thing you get to do on the side when you become a canine handler.
Yep. Do you get called out to other counties from time to time?
We do. And kind of the reverse of that. Sometimes we call other counties in here. The canine handlers train together with kind of our area counties and police departments. And then at the same time, if we don't have a canine on duty for a stretch of time and we need one, we'll call Sauk or Grant or Iowa and have them bring a dog to us. And the same thing, they call us when they need help too, so we can send dogs to that way. Yep.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So the 5K, again, you can sign up on the website.
A lot
of people will.
The Partners for Prevention website, you can sign up there. Like I said, I Google searched it yesterday. It was one of the first things that popped out, National Night Out K9 5K. There's some QR, if you see a flyer, there's QR codes out there to sign up. So, yeah, there's multiple ways to sign up.
Yep. Yeah, get signed up. Come on out, run. I know there are a couple deputies and officers that are planning on running the 5K as well. So you might recognize. I believe Deputy Sizz is going to run this year.
Wow.
So we're gonna put a couple people in. Fire Chief Gald is signed up, I believe. So he'll be out there. Hopefully. Walking or a walk run or come on out, enjoy it. You'll be able to rub elbows with some of the big wigs on the course, so it'll be a lot of fun. And again, I'd like to just thank everybody for who is already signed up and just for the support that we continue to get. It's amazing and it's humbling.
Yeah, it's a very nice little festival, isn't it?
Absolutely. Exactly. And just come on out. There's no cost other than if you want to get something to eat, but there's no obligation to that either. But come on out, have a bottle of water, sit down, enjoy some music, mingle with the folks on the grounds. We'll have displays on set like we have the last couple of years. We'll have squad cars. We'll have the tactical vehicle will be there. The big MRAP again. The fire department's bringing out stuff. EMS is going to have rigs there. We've invited some of the outlying fire department and EMS units as well. So we're hoping to get those guys there. The DNR will be there again with their big airboat they like to bring by. The kids like to climb around on that stuff. So we just have a lot of stuff you can just look at and interact with, and you can climb up in and sit behind the driver's wheel if you want and take pictures. And if you see the officers, they're out there to take pictures and mingle and answer questions or whatever you might have. And again, there's going to be quite a few of us in the dunk tank again this year. So come on over and slap the bullseye and drop us in and get a good shock. I think Scott's going to make sure the water is maybe a little warmer this year, we're hoping.
It in there a day or two in advance.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. So it'll be really good. Yeah, we're just really, really looking for a good night. And hopefully the weather lasts. It holds off for us, and we don't have, we don't have a big shower or rain shower or anything like that. But it's going to be a great time. And bring your bug spray. Bring your bug spray.
That's another good tip.
That's my tip for this week is, bring your bug spray. But I think it's going to be just a wonderful time and nice evening. I even think there's some ball games happening at North Park and at Crosscut Park. So maybe taking a ball game while you're there as well. But, we recommend parking. North Park is going to be a good spot for parking. And then the Crosscut Park parking by the community center. And then come on and walk on over and enjoy a good night out.
Just a short walk. And Donnie Razick will be there.
Absolutely. Yep. Donnie Razick is gonna be our featured band this year. He's coming in. And he'll kind of fill in the spots between yourself and Gary Goodconnect. And you guys, while you're announcing things, he'll be playing some music on the side and entertaining us like he always does. So yep, great local hometown boy. So it'll be good to have.
What time does he start singing then?
He'll set up and start at 5 o'clock, right away at 5 o'clock, and he'll just kind of play all the way through 8 o'clock, and he'll have some breaks and some intermissions and things like that. But he'll be there from 5 to 8.
Okay. You singing a duet with him or not?
I don't think that would go over well.
Okay. Just a dunk tank for you.
Yes, just a dunk tank.
That'll be entertaining. Yep. Betsy Raisler is here as well, project director at the Richland School District. Betsy, you couldn't do this without your sponsors, could you?
No, the sponsors are very important, and we just really want to thank, in particular, the Richland County Children and Family Advocacy Council, from which the Partners for Prevention grew. We wouldn't be able to host this event without their support, and then many businesses in our community that have been willing to support us, including Stafford Funeral Home, Jelenic Plumbing and Heating, Rock Solid Forming, Metco, Schmidt Farms, Jones Chevrolet, the Richland Center City Utilities, Richland County Bank, Rotary, Los Amigos, the Richland Hospital, Richland Electric Cooperative, and Robin's Nest. So thanks so much. And Community First Bank, People's Community Bank.
So you got them all.
I think we did. Did I get that one right? Okay.
This is an important event for our community. You guys have witnessed this the last few years, haven't you?
It is. And Joanne could maybe go into more detail. This event actually began in Ohio in 1973. So it takes place throughout the country on the first Tuesday of the month. For the most part, some communities opt to have it on a different day, but closely associated with the first Tuesday, so around this time. And it was established to reinforce that camaraderie between first responders, law enforcement, and the community so that we can communicate with each other better and create that collaboration. And that's exactly what the Partners for Prevention hopes to do. The number one goal is to increase people working together, because our specific goal is to reduce the number of youth that start using substances. And this event accomplishes that goal by having an event where there aren't any substances and normalizing that idea that you can have fun without substances. So this is one of our strategies that building on the strengths represented by many sectors in the community, we look to emphasize the resilience and the strength of the community to address those risk factors, those weaknesses in the community. So we're all about this event and so thankful that it's taken hold after. Now we've got our fourth year coming, and we hope it sticks around for a very long time. We're hoping to create a sustainable event that becomes part of our culture.
For youngsters, it's very important to know that these people are approachable, that it's not scary, and things like that. And then if they do need them sometime in an emergency, not afraid to go to them too, right?
That's exactly right.
Joanne, anything you'd like to add in terms of the schedule or the events coming up?
Well, the if they can't get online to register for the 5K, they can still register beginning at 4:30 that night down at Crosscut Park. And then at 5 o'clock, Amber's not here to talk about it, but I think you guys know this Lucas machine demo. It actually saves lives.
Yeah. So the Lucas machine is, for CPR, it does the compressions for the first responders. So they're pretty incredible machines. They're pretty impressive to see a demo of them as well. They're quite the machine. They really do save lives because they take that human factor out of CPR, where as far as, you know, the compressions go, you can get, if you've ever done compressions in CPR, you can get tired really fast. Yes. Doing them. It'll wipe you out. And this machine automates that for us. So that'll be a pretty cool demo to watch. It really is a life-saving piece of equipment, and you couple those with AEDs, and that's really a game changer for EMS. So,
who has that equipment, or how many of those units do we have in the county? Do you know?
Every ambulance in the county does have one.
So, okay. In Richland County, Richland Center.
For sure, every rig in Richland Center does. I do believe there are a handful throughout the county. There may be some EMS districts that need them too. I don't want to say everybody has one, but there are. That's becoming more common, but they are quite pricey.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are there maybe some ideas of having fundraisers for something like that in the future?
I think some ambulances have fundraised for them, that's certainly something where I'm unaware if there is a need, but if there is a need, it would be a good fundraiser opportunity.
Awesome.
Then at 5:30. The 5K will start. Mm-hmm. 5 to 8, food trucks open, live music, you know, people can come and go as they please. 5:45 is a fire truck demo. 6:15 is a canine demo. And what should really be fun and you don't want to miss is 6:45, a first responder team challenge. Mm-hmm. This was their idea.
And it was new this year.
Yes.
Actually, Amber Birch, she works for Richland County EMS. She volunteered to build a course for us. And most of us law enforcement and fire personnel, we don't even know what that course is quite yet. So she's been keeping this one on the down low, but we've been working on building some teams. At least I have at my department. We've been working on building a couple teams. We can co-mingle. We can intermingle with departments and fire if you need. We're gonna get thrown into this team challenge. My understanding, it's gonna be some sort of like relay race type of a thing, where we got to maybe do a couple obstacles or something like that. It doesn't sound like it's you know, EMS is going to be there just in case, you know, just in case a couple of us have heart attacks or something like that. So maybe that Lucas machine might come in handy. But no, just all joking aside, it sounds like it's going to be a really, really good event. We kind of planned it to be a little bit of a surprise, but we let some of the officers know. So they've been talking amongst themselves and kind of getting a couple teams together, and so we're hoping to put on a little demo. And I'm not sure if there's going to be a dummy drag or something like that involved, where we have to, you know, maybe pick somebody up and carry them or something like that. So it sounds like it's going to be a really good time, and we encourage everybody to stick around, and we'll entertain where we can.
All I can envision is a reality show where, you know, you got to climb a wall and, you know, maybe something swings and hits you.
Right.
You
know. Yes, exactly. I'm not sure how elaborate will be, but it'll be fun.
You'll have to come to the National Night Out and find out more.
Exactly. Yep. Come on out and take a look.
I just want to invite everybody to come. I mean, what started out small, I think the first year we had 250 people, and we used the DFC grant, which we get from federal grant, to start it. But, you know, our federal grant runs out the end of September, and we don't know if we'll get the next 5 years or not. So we're trying to make this sustainable within our little organization. In fact, we're even applying for 501c3 so that the community can enjoy this, because this isn't just for us. This is for the community, and we want the community to take ownership of it and so that it can be sustainable. I mean, the first year we had 250 people. Second year we had 500 people. Last year we had 750 people. So it's growing each year. And it's these sponsors that in the future are going to help make it sustainable.
Now and years to come, they've been buying logs and standing timber in Southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's Forest Management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
This news update is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast is calling for a high of 84 with intermittent showers and thunderstorms. We've had a little bit so far here in the area. In fact, 7/100ths of an inch of precipitation at the radio studios this morning, and it is 73 degrees.
Experience a different way of living at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Hi, this is Andrea. Stop in today at 172 South Church Street at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet and see Violet. Every room in your home has a function, and with the right kind of furniture, you can maximize your space to the fullest. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet is now open. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to noon. Visit our showroom today and discover how you can achieve a different way of living. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center, 172 South Church Street.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. A 19-year-old man is sentenced for a crash that killed a 13-year-old Reedsburg girl as she was about to board a school bus. Kevin Green of Platteville tearfully apologized to the family of Evelyn Gurney in Sauk County Court Wednesday morning. Green was given 4 years probation and 3 months in jail, along with fines and community service. Green's license has been also revoked for a year. The seventh grader was killed the morning of May 12th of 2023 while she was standing in her driveway off of Highway 2333. Prosecutors say that Green had been texting and speeding leading up to the crash. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions Investment Scam Tracker includes descriptions of frauds or deceptive scams based on previous consumer complaints to DFI. The Scam Tracker lets you search by a company's name, type of scam, or keyword, and includes a list of frequently asked questions. The tool also includes links to additional resources and a list of common investment terms. According to DFI, imposter scams are the most reported and often most difficult to detect. Between January of 2022 and June of this year, more than $3.5 million in losses were reported to DFI with cryptocurrency fraud and financial grooming. The U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg visited Milwaukee on Wednesday, highlighting federal investments in the city's port. He said many jobs in the area depend on transportation, and that depends on strong supply chains, including rail, road, and shipping. He said better supply chains are part of the fight against inflation because shipping costs are part of the price for what consumers buy. Buttigieg also joined Governor Tony Evers for a brief ride on Amtrak. New Borealis service. His visit was part of a tour of Great Lakes ports in Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. He was in Menominee Harbor and Manitowoc earlier this week. A Minnesota man convicted of killing a teen and injuring four others on western Wisconsin's Apple River in 2022 will spend 20 years in prison. St. Croix County Judge Michael Waterman sentenced 54-year-old Nikolai Miu to a total of 41 years for the stabbing death and related charges, but set the sentences to run concurrently. Prosecutors had sought a 70-year sentence on the convictions. Four others were injured in the fatal attack that took place during a confrontation between Miu and a group of people inner tubing on the river, which is a popular summertime destination less than an hour's drive from the Twin Cities. The Department of Workforce Development predicts a nurse shortage in Wisconsin will continue.
According to a DWD report, there are not enough registered nurses in Wisconsin to meet current demand, and the shortage is predicted to grow if unaddressed. Two models in the report predict a deficit of between 12,000 and 19,000 nurses by 2040. DWD evaluated several factors, such as high vacancy rates of registered nurses in hospitals and low unemployment rates for nurses. The report says possible approaches to addressing healthcare workforce challenges include placing extra emphasis on retaining nurses, making it possible for nurses to care for more patients, and supporting public health to reduce the number of patients. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Reunion 2024 returns to Woodman this Saturday. This annual event brings to the stage local artists going back 40-plus years, as well as new and upcoming local talent. The genres include jazz, country, folk, rock and roll, and more. Over 30 different artists are scheduled to perform. The music begins at 10:30 in the morning, goes until 10:30 at night. Food and soft drinks will be available on the grounds, and personal beverages are allowed as carry-ins as well. Money being raised for charity comes from the sale of T-shirts the day of the event. The event has found its permanent home in Woodman Village Park. Attending artists share memorabilia, stories, and more for the day, and also are encouraged to bring any memorabilia they may have collected over the years. High school reunions will also be in the park in conjunction with the event Saturday. Classes from Boscobel High School and the annual all-school reunion from North Crawford will be holding reunions at the Woodman Park on Saturday. It was another record year for EAA Air Venture. The EAA confirms another year of record attendance in Oshkosh. An estimated 686,000 people passed through the gates during last week's seven-day run. That eclipses the previous record of 677,000 last year. Whitman Regional Airport handled nearly 16,800 air traffic operations during the event. That averages about 113 takeoffs and landings per hour when the airport is open. AirVenture also hosted 15,000 sites for aircraft and drive-in camping for over 40,000 visitors. The city of Appleton and a police officer deny wrongdoing in an officer-involved shooting death. The city of Appleton and one of its police officers involved in the August 2022 shooting death of Daniel Pusavanto responded to a wrongful death civil suit filed by the family. In their response to claims that use of deadly force was unnecessary, the city and Officer Bryce Rudebeck say they deny any wrongdoing, improper conduct, or violations of the plaintiff's rights. They also say these answering defendants of Appleton and Rudebeck are protected from suit by immunities, including qualified immunity. The city and Officer Rudebeck asked for the case to be dismissed. A scheduling conference is set for August 29th. Due to the extreme heat that occurs each summer, especially when prolonged, Richland County cooling centers have been identified. The Richland Center area during normal working hours, the Brewer Public Library from 9 until 6, Monday through Friday, Fridays 9 to 5, and also Saturdays 10 until 2, the Woodman Community Senior Center Monday through Friday from 8 until 4:30, the Village of Iola office from 8:30 until 4:30, and the senior dining site can also be made available during that time as well. The Lone Rock Community Library open Monday through Wednesday from 11 until 4:30, Thursdays noon to 5. The Yuba Community Center available by contacting Terry at 608-574-9547. The Cazenovia Fire Department is available upon request by contacting Daryl at 608-983-2647.
The changing seasons mirror the changing seasons of our lives. Each season offers something special. I'm Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We're committed to celebrating life. We strive to help you celebrate the life of a loved one who has been lost, and we work hard to help the living open new seasons of life, recovering from the grief that comes with loss. Whatever your season in life, we are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
A high of 84 later today expected, intermittent showers, and it looks like we have thunderstorm possibly today in the forecast.
Showers gradually diminishing tonight, a low of 67 and highs near 90 on Friday. Yesterday's high was 90. We have picked up 7/100ths of an inch of rain this morning. A little bit of fog has settled in some locations, and right now it has stayed very warm overnight. The current reading after the midnight reading of 77 is 73 degrees.
Don't miss the Super Summer Sales events happening at the Family Thrift Shop. Beginning July 31st to August 3rd, all summer clothing 50% off. Our back-to-school sale begins August 14th to the 17th. All children's clothing, shoes, backpacks, and all-size team sports apparel 50% off. Stop in often. New items are added daily. Shop smart, where your donations and purchases help support your local community. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street. Open Wednesday to Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 4. See you there!
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the local and area baseball schedule, a recap of a Brewer loss yesterday, and Packer Camp continues.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
There's home talent baseball tonight on the final night of the regular season for the Night League. Mazamania at Reedsburg, Plain at Arena, Dodgeville at Sauk Prairie, Cazenovia at Wisconsin Dells, Pine Bluff Mount Horeb is playing at Blanchardville, and Schulzburg Benton at Hollandale. The home talent baseball all-star game will be played tomorrow night. They will be having that starting at 7 o'clock at JC Athletic Park in Sauk City. Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud hit back-to-back home runs twice in a game won by the Atlanta Braves yesterday by a score of 6-2. The loss means the Brewers' lead in the National League Central Division race is down to 5 games. Jared Koenig absorbed the defeat in relief. Starter Freddy Peralta had held the Braves to just 2 runs on 3 hits in the first 6 innings. Milwaukee had jumped to a 2-0 lead with a pair of runs off starter Chris Sale in the bottom of the first. The Brewers are off today and will start a weekend series at Washington against the Nationals on Friday. Manager Pat Murphy says they just need to put July behind them now.
Winning this pitch and playing good, everything else will happen. You start worrying about your numbers, next year's contract, things like that. That comes into people's lives. There's a lot going on. They have a lot of people talking to them.
Elsewhere in action from yesterday, St. Louis gained a game on the Brewers with a 10-1 win over Texas, Miami 6-2 over Tampa Bay, the Yankees 6, Philadelphia 5, Minnesota 8-3 over the Mets, Houston 5, Pittsburgh 4, San Francisco edged Oakland 1-0, Colorado 2-1 over the Angels. In the National League elsewhere, Arizona 5-4 over Washington, the Cubs beat Cincinnati 13-4, San Diego 8, and the Dodgers won. In the American League, Baltimore 10, Toronto 4, Kansas City 10-3 over the White Sox, Boston 3, and Seattle 2. The Big Ten has announced the host sites for the next 4 conference basketball tournaments. The action returns to the Grainbridge Fieldhouse next March. The 4 basketball programs switching from the Pac-12 will be a part of that action. That change becomes official Friday. The men's and women's tournaments will be played in Las Vegas in 2027. And Detroit in 2028. Wisconsin senior safety Hunter Waller has been named to the watch list for the Nagurski Trophy. That honor goes to the most outstanding defensive player in college football each year. Waller is a senior from Oswego. He was named first team All-Big Ten at the end of last season. The Football Writers Association of America just released its list of the top 75 defenders in the country who are on the watch list. Wednesday was offense day at the Packers training camp. Starting quarterback Jordan Love showed game pinpoint accuracy on long passes the day after the Green Bay defense had dominated. Rashawn Gary did get another sack during the work week, and a third-year wide receiver Romeo Doubs was singled out for his work during one-on-ones, and he did most of the work against standout cornerback Jaire Alexander. Those exercises are weighted toward the offense because defensive backs are in press coverage and there is no pass rush. Jordan Love says he missed some days of camp, but he feels he has caught up.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, you know, getting back in that rhythm. I feel like training camp, the speed is always so much faster. I feel like everybody's got that energy and they're flying around, especially to start. So definitely, you know, some I'm just getting back to playing fast and trying to myself slow down in the midst of all of it and try not to get sped up myself with my feet and my reads, which I think is something I try and focus on right now.
And the U.S. men's basketball team had an easier time with South Sudan than the last time a couple of weeks ago. The U.S. clinched a trip to the quarterfinals at the Paris Olympics by beating South Sudan 103-86 on Wednesday night. I'm Phil Nee with sports. Why should you join the recreation complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how...
Our morning show continues on WRCO. National Night Out. It's next Tuesday, August 6th, and it will be at Richland Center's Kroska Park this year, a change of location, so we want to make sure that everybody knows that right out of the gate. Richland Center Fire Chief Scott Gold is here as well. Scott, how you doing these days?
Good. How are you?
Good. We talked to you a little while ago. I know we saw you at the Walk with Grace race, which was held in May. That was sure impressive where all the departments came together for that walk at the end.
Yeah, and it's a good motivator for the members, too. We have three duty crews, and our teams were created with the duty crew officers, and they coordinated with their members to get out and train a little bit, and it just helped us overall to have something to look forward to, and it worked out really well. We had one of our members that left us that worked here in town went to Hixton. He actually brought a team down and participated too, so it was pretty neat to see that. So.
That was pretty impressive. All of a sudden, I had to go Google Hixton. Where is that at?
Yep.
I wasn't even aware.
Yep. So. He worked here in town at one of the manufacturing and got to an opportunity to go home, build a house, and still loves Richland Center and comes down to different events that we have. So it's good to have that.
How many members strong are you now?
We're up to 50. It's the biggest or most that I think we've ever been at. 25 of them are in the last 3 years. So when we were talking earlier, you guys were talking, we have a lot of new members too, and it's good for us to get out in the community and meet other officers and other agencies too with this new staff. So
National Night Out, you're going to get a chance to kind of put out there some of the new equipment and show the public, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been able to, with the donation of Jones Chevrolet and Cardinal CG, the ultra-high pressure truck that it was in the paper this week, that is in service. That goes out to every call with two members. First fire it went on, it had the tractor fire that we had. It was quite a ways out of town, but they had pretty much contained the fire with that truck before the engine got there. So it does exactly what it does depending on the situation. It's just a tool in the toolbox and will not work on all calls, but some calls it will, and first call out it worked great. So I'm very excited about that. We'll have that there along with our drone. Our drone team, we've got four or five operators of that, and we'll be there showing that off too. And we continue to make that stronger too, working with the different agencies that we help out with that. So
how do you decide who goes out with the new truck? Is it the first two members that arrive at the station, or are they assigned to
depending on how long they've been there and the training that they've had, mm-hmm. of who can drive it and who can ride on the truck. So learning for us too. But, yeah, we've got a select group that can go out, drive, and ride on it. And otherwise, they come on the next truck, depending on their situation of training.
Isn't technology amazing, though, and how it's helped you and you know, life-saving abilities and everything, right?
Yeah. We were looking at new battery-powered extrication equipment last night down at Wagner's. Bruce and the crew there lets us practice all the time, and we've checked out four different manufacturers the last four Tuesday nights, and it's just amazing what that does for us. And the mobility, instead of taking a pump and hoses, just grabbing a tool with battery on it and going wherever we need to. So.
And the drones have the ability from up ahead to kind of show you where the fire is? And
it does. We've used it on fire. We've used it a lot searching for people that have walked away from group homes, missing folks, hunters. It's actually added quite a few calls to our department. And we've got teams and worked with Clay and dispatch on actually a drone team. So we're not paging out the full department. We just have a select few that go out to those calls. So it's added quite a bit for us.
It's easy to say that you probably work more with the sheriff's department and the city than you ever have, don't you, in terms of going out on accident calls and things like that as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, with all the agencies, EMS, with all the lift assist we do with the sheriff's department, city police, on all the different calls, we all work together on a lot of things and share a lot of our resources, I think, too, as far as tools and different things from each other.
What kind of demonstrations will we be showing there at National Night Out then again?
The drone will, you know, we'll fly that, show the infrared out. We've got a TV display so everybody can kind of see what we can see when we're on a scene. We usually set it up in our command vehicle, and officers or whoever, when we're searching for somebody, can see exactly what the drone operator sees on their small display on a 45-inch TV, and it's pretty neat to see. You know, you'll think you'll see something and it might be deer or whatever, but how that infrared works, it's pretty neat. And then the ultra high pressure will just, you know, open the topper and show everything that we've got on that. We're keeping it simple. It's got a thermal imaging camera on it. It's got AED, and then the basic pump in the back and how that works. So
several members of the department will be there as well.
They will. We'll have our aerial there. We'll set the aerial up and show that off. And if we have enough members, we'll bring probably our engine down too.
Always impressive. And I know you're usually at grace with a big flag hanging up on top
yep.
of the
yep.
truck.
We there. Always try to do that. So just always trying to be out in the community. We've been stressing that a lot more with a lot of these events. Our annual dance, we kind of went away from, and we're just trying to do more public events, more family-oriented, and it's been working for sure.
Do you have events just for your department, for their families and things like that as well?
We do. We do like around the holidays, we do a holiday party, and then we'll do a summer picnic for members. Yep.
You have to have a big place now with 50 members, though, don't you?
So. We're pretty full.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we are very, very fortunate. I know talking to a lot of other chiefs, they're asking how we do that. We've been just fortunate, I think, to get the right folks on and their friends, you know, want to be part of it. So really appreciate them taking the time for all the training and everything it demands 24/7.
So you're going to be in the 5K then, I understand?
I'll partake, yeah.
Are you going to partake?
Yeah. Might not be as good as I used to be, but I'm still going to do it.
Sure.
I can finish it, no problem.
We can mic you up then while you're on the...
Whatever you want to
okay.
do.
Okay. And it sounds like you're picking teams with you didn't even know about this, but you and Billy are...
Yeah, we'll be good.
Picking teams?
Yeah. I can recruit. I got more to pick from.
He does. He's got a bigger pool. But yeah, we're going to put together a couple teams for the first responder team challenge and hopefully nobody gets hurt and we'll have a good time doing it.
My captain's going to be Michael Starks. I'll just let you know.
He's got some ringers on
yes,
his team.
Yes, he does.
He
does. Uh-huh. He knows where to find them.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
I know you couldn't do it without the many organizations in the community, Billy.
Absolutely. So just to kind of piggyback onto some of the organizations that Betsy talked about as sponsoring, we also have organizations that will be on the grounds. With tables and displays and they're setting up their own activities. Some will do some face painting, some will do some other things. But we have quite a few groups from Department of Health and Human Services, which is another county organization that law enforcement and EMS and fire work with too on a regular basis. The ADRC, the Children Protective Services, Public Health Department, Behavioral Health Department, those groups are all going to be there with literature and they'll have booths set up. We have 4-H, a couple 4-H groups that will be coming. I believe the 4-H groups last year did the face paintings. So they're coming out again, a couple 4-H groups from the Richland County area. Passages, Pine Counseling, Southwest CAP is going to be there. The Parenting Place, I believe they're actually out of La Crosse. They're coming down again with some literature. They'll set up a booth. You'll be able to go around and talk and see what they have to offer. Crime Stoppers is gonna have a booth out there again. Even Edward Jones from downtown, they want to put a booth together. They talked about bringing out some kids games, so maybe some younger kids games will be set up as well. I believe the Richland Hospital has reached out. State Farm Insurance has reached out. They want to have a booth down. I'm sure I'm missing some of the organizations, but there's going to be just a lot of community at Crosscut Park on August 6th, and we just want to say thanks to everybody who wants to become involved.
Clay, we just need people, so it's a good place for the kids and grandkids to come out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great event to bring your kids and kids of all ages. I mean, we'll have stuff for young kids on up. We would encourage teenagers to come out, and really not just youth as well. Like, people of any age can come and join in the fun and come interact with us. And I really hope we just have a great turnout. And like I said, people of all ages, come out, come have some fun with us, enjoy some food. It'll be a good time.
It's important to see some of this equipment we talked about up close and personal, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. It's, you know, it maybe takes a little mystery out of that, right? Mm-hmm. So we open up our squad cars and we let people climb around and take a look at things. And like Billy said, we'll have our MRAP there. And that's kind of a big, impressive machine in itself. You know, it's the size of a fire truck in some aspects. And it just... You know, we kind of get our equipment out and you know, let the kids try to break a door open with a ram or, mm-hmm. you know, play around with that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome recess right there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
A kid's dream, then.
It is. You know, and speaking of the kids, you know, one of the big shout-outs I want to give is to the Parks Department. Richland Center Parks Department they're working tirelessly right now. If you were to drive through the park, you'll probably see all these high school kids and park employees weed whacking and throwing mulch around and trying to make Crosscut Park just look extra good this week. So a huge shout out to them, Jody at the park, Spencer, Tess, and all the kids. You know, we actually talked to the park board this year, and they waived a lot of the fees for all the shelters, and because we're going to take up a lot of room down in there. So we want to say thank you to those guys for allowing us to come in and not have to spend a lot of extra money on some of that, so we can use it in other places. So it's been great, but the parks guys and gals have just been wonderful, and they're gonna make it look nice down there for us. So we should have a really good time.
Awesome. Can't wait. Joanne, anything you wanna add here at the end?
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, it's not too late to sign up for the 5K, and mm-hmm. the Olympics are going on. Think of it as an Olympic event, you know. There's medals for the top three in each age group. So come out and earn a gold.
Gary and I can play that, the theme from Chariots of Fire, I think.
Yes.
It is that. Yeah, kind of motivate people to get across the finish line.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Betsy, anything else that you wanted to add?
No, just thanks to the community for supporting this event and the Richland School District and the Richland County Children and Family Advocacy Council and all the sectors that come together to help us with what we're trying to achieve as Partners for Prevention. And I know we'll all be healthier and safer as we work together.
Yes, we will. Next Tuesday, August 6th, 5:30 it starts. And we've had a lot of fun with this, but seriously, thanks for keeping us safe, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chief Jones and Sheriff Porter and Chief Gald over here, Betsy Raisler and Joanne Krulatz. Joanne is the Partners for Prevention President, National Night Out Chair, and Betsy is the Project Director at the Richland School District. And we hope to see everybody, one and all, at next week's event at Crosscut Park.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
This is Phil Nee from WRCO, reminding you Wisconsin's fall primary is August 13th, right around the corner. Make a plan to be a voter in every election. Your vote matters. To learn more about who and what is on your ballot this August, where your polling place is, and how you can request an absentee ballot, head to myvotewi.gov to get all the information and more. This is Phil Nee from WRCO, reminding you Wisconsin's fall primary is August 13th, right around the corner.